As you can see on the screen, our lesson this morning is going to be on the world that then was, indicating that something was before. I have a good friend, you've heard me all say this before, but I got to say it again. I have a good friend in California that taught me there are two important rules that one should adhere to when studying the scripture. Rule number one, all scripture is inspired by God and in the original text there are no contradictions or errors. Rule number two, if you find a contradiction or an error in the original text, return to rule number one. That's what I kind of go by. Anyone that has been in my classes for a very long time know that I like to teach from whole, the big picture, to the smaller parts. And also I like to teach from apparent, and I stress the word apparent, contradictions that we find in Scripture. Usually in my lessons there is a brief Hebrew or Greek lesson to be had. That's involved in that, sometimes even an English lesson now and then that we'd less forget, our seventh grade teachers. Today will be no difference as we look at the world that then was. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. It's on page 988 in the companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 45. Chapter 45, verse 18. It reads, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." I want you to notice there the word "in vain." What does that mean? Well, to illustrate that I don't make this stuff up, here is the procedure that I would go through to understand more about "in vain." I go to the original Hebrew text. I use one that's done by Spyro Zadhidis. And there in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, I find "in vain" is Hebrew word 8,414. So then I go to a Hebrew dictionary and I look up word 8,414, and I find the word is T-O-H-U, to who. And it means to lie waste, desolation of surface, worthless, without form, vain, waste, empty, void. With this information, is there any doubt here to the meaning about what this verse is saying? It's saying the earth was created void, was not created void, worthless and desolate without form. It was created perfect. For backup to that, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, which is, I can read that for you. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 4. Speaking of the Lord, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Not vain, worthless, desolate. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Pretty much backs up what we read there in 45, that he creates perfect, he doesn't create void and without form. Now, I pretty much set the trap. And I've got to change. I don't have a podium up there to change up there, but I have to change from down here. Genesis 1:1. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was created perfect according to Isaiah. And here we says that it was without form and void in the beginning when God created it. Does that not make sense? Something's not right. What does that mean? Well, what do? I go back to Spyrozotidis in the Greek, and I look and I find this word there, 8,414, to who? It is an apparent direct contradiction. And the rule is you don't find contradictions in Scripture. So what? Something is wrong, and it's not God. How do you reconcile this in your mind if you're an agnostic or if you're an atheist? No wonder people begin to think that the Scriptures don't make any sense because they don't compare to science or whatever. How do you reconcile this? If I couldn't get to the bottom of this, I would be in for schizophrenia teaching the rest of my born days. Well, the answer, Hebrew lesson number 2. Notice the word was in verse 2. It's very evident in the Companion Bible because they happen to fall one right over the other. But notice that the word was is in two different fonts in your Bible. And it's that way in most Bibles. Some of the newer translations don't mess with that. They just go right over it, like the atheist goes right over it. But there's two different fonts there, was. Why is that? On the Hebrew, that word is 91961. It means, it's pronounced haya. What does haya mean? Well, it's be or become, come to pass, to accomplish. And you see it's designated by these two different fonts, the same word. Why is that? Well, it's because in the Hebrew language, there's no verb to be. It's inserted in the English to help the sense of what's going on. The word was can be translated either was or became. In fact, just to back that up, it's translated that way. Instead of was, it's translated became in the very next chapter, verse 7, in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became. The same word, translated, became, rather than was a living soul, he became a living soul. Because in the Hebrew, there's no verb to be. So there's the translator then has his discretion as to whether that word needs to be translated because or became or was. I can point to many verses. Chapter 4, verse 3, chapter 9, verse 15, chapter 19, verse 26. In Exodus, verse chapter 32, Deuteronomy 27, for 2 Samuel, Genesis 27, Genesis 27, John chapter 4, on and on and on, where that word is continually translated, either was or became, depending on what? Depending on the circumstances in which it is used. If this is correct, and I think it's correct, we have found the answer to the apparent contradiction. He created it perfect, according to Isaiah, but in Genesis 1-2, it was not, it became that way. It became without form and void. That's the best picture I could find of without form and void. Thanks to NASA. Is there anything to back this concept up? Why would one translator do that? It's because he didn't know. King James's translator didn't know his scripture. There is something to back it up. And it's found in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Page 1868, the Companion Bible. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. For this they, we got to determine who is they. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing in the water and out of the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. You know what? When I was in high school, I read that, and I thought, you know, if I could just understand when the earth was in the water and out of the water, I would know that that was an old earth. Yeah, but I left it at that. Never did really find out what that was all about. Here we have Peter speaking about they. Who are the A? They. They are agnostics. They are atheists. They are, unfortunately, the technological and the science world in which we live today. They are willingly ignorant of what? That the earth is old. And this applies particularly to preachers and religion. They teach that the world is 6,000 years old. But here we see Peter telling us that the earth is old. You know what? The geologists agree. They look at the fossil record and they say, good night, the earth is not 6,000 years old, like the preacher told me. The earth is millions of years old. They've got it right, but you know what? They don't know why. And the most preachers and religions don't know why they got it wrong. Standing out of the water and in the water. Strange. Is it even possible for that? However, if you know when this was, you would know that the earth was old at that time, that it overflowed with water, it perished, deluged with water. Genesis 1-2, Peter says about that, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water. And in this next graphic, we're going to see an image that of the sea, the earth, deluged, submerged, flooded, overflowed, without void. Pretty much a mess. But it wasn't created that way. It became that way as a result of what? It wasn't Adam's sin. Adam hadn't been invented yet, or created, I should say. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Beginning with verse 2.5. This was after the earth became without form and void, and it reads, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light." And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So that earth was deluged, according to Peter. It was in the deep water. Somewhere it came from. God ruined it with water, that which he had originally created. So it says he put a firmament in the midst of the waters, an expanse in Scripture, if you look it up in the Greek, something that is spread out. It's the universe as we know it, where the place of the stars, where the scrolls were opened up. And the stars, he rolled it open like a scroll. He put this firmament in the heavens. And so, to my amazement, at this point, I realized that if this is the only point in time that the earth can be in the water and out of the water. The earth is covered with water that is under the firmament, and there's water above the firmament, and so the earth is standing out of the water and in the water at the same time. That earth is of old. By the way, some scientists today say that if we go far enough in space, we will eventually come to water. Masses of water. That's not one scientist. There's dozens that tie to that. There's water out there beyond. Hubble hasn't got there yet, but maybe it will one day. I don't know. What did Peter say? They're ignorant of this. The earth standing in the water and out of the water was old, not new, as commonly taught. It is the old perished. And what do we have to prove it? We have a fossil record that's millions of years old. That's where the dinosaurs are, by the way. Wiped out by this deluge of water that came upon the earth. The fossil record shows that the earth is millions and millions of years old. Look at verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, that expanse. It's much larger than what the picture on the screen shows. That's a little narrow, but he called that the heavens. Place of the stars, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. The dry land appears because the waters begin to separate. As the waters begin to abate over thousands of years, the dry land begin to appear. And we read then verses 11 and 12 of Genesis. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so, when the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The earth begins to be recreated as a result of God's work. The green grass, things begin to take shape. And this is a recreation of what is spoken of in Genesis verse 1, in the beginning. All of Genesis, mostly after the first chapter or two, is in reference to this recreation of what had become void and without form. But it wasn't perfect yet. Verse 10, 20, or verses 10. And God called the dry land earth, and we read that, but let's read on. And evening and the morning were the third day, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and for seasons, for the days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God sent them in the firmament that we saw and the expanse that was there, and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may be fly above the heaven in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and living creatures in movement, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature, and after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after the kind of everything that creepeth upon the earth after this kind. And God saw that it was good. And then he talked about making man. Let's turn over to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 25. And unto Eber was born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Peleg in Hebrew means earthquake. In the days of earthquake, the earth was divided. This is now 1,700 years after Genesis 1, chapter 2. It was quick. It was intense. It's what caused the mountains. There was no mountains. It was caused the fossil record to be like this throughout the world. The earth, the geologists have three hypotheses for what occurred the earth, for this to happen, for the earth to divide like that. Thermal contraction was one. Subcrustal convection currents, where the molten part was moving in the internal part of the earth and caused the surface to begin to break up. And then the third one is continental drift. And now that continental drift is considered to be a poor choice as far as the geologists are concerned. But nevertheless, the earth, for some reason, became divided. And when it divided, that's when we begin to see the continents appear. And when I was studying geology at Baylor University, I found that there's evidence on each side. They find the same rock creations and formations here as fits over there. There's no question that that came apart. And the only thing that we have to go on that caused that was earthquakes. Very violent time on earth. So here we are today, the earth in which we live in today. The creation that we read about in Genesis chapter 1 is a recreation. The first verse, in the beginning, was the world that then was. But what we read then, which I read some of those verses and tried to show the sequence of what happened, God is recreating a place for Adam. And Adam was different than whatever went before in that other world, which I think was caused about by the insurrection of angels. Angels are superhuman beings. They have a will, a free will to believe or do what they wish. They believe in God, but they don't believe God. It's easy for them to believe in God. There he was. But they didn't believe God. They decided to do whatever they did, and they caused this chaos in God's perfect creation to begin with. Wasn't created void, was created perfect. Further evidence of this is found in another lesson that we can use these same pictures, really. And that's what we've looked at before, the term before the foundations of the world and since the foundations of the world. This word foundation in Scripture is katabole. It is some catastrophic event. And so before the katabole was the world that then was. Since the katabole, that's where we live today. It's in God's recreated earth. The catastrophic event. It wasn't caused by the sin of Adam. Adam hadn't been invented yet or created yet. So when all the powers that be in the world, all the scientists, all of the green people, I hate to name names like John Kerry and Al Gore. Well, I did. Sorry. When they figure out how many millions of years the earth is, that time frame will be exactly what is needed to fill in between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Rule number one prevails. There's no contradictions between Isaiah 45:18 and Genesis 1:2. Now, I want to go one step further and point out that with this information, you can actually divide the scriptures into three main parts. Across the top on the screen, you say the world that then was, the heaven and earth which are now, and the new heavens and the new earth. That's what scripture talks about. That's what it's all about. And you can see in the first one there, the world that then was, it was before the overthrow or before the foundations of the world, same word. We read about it in Ephesians, before age times in 2 Timothy. But what happened to it? It became void and out without form. It's toyu and boyu in the Hebrew. Genesis 1:2. That's what happened to the world that then was. The earth which is now, and this is during the period in which we live in the great work of redemption, the death of Christ, redemption for our sins, is in this world that we live now. But what happens according to Scripture, according to Revelation, 2 Peter 3:10, Isaiah 34, it becomes void and without form as well. And then, of course, you see the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21, the end, that God may be all in all. I throw that into this lesson just to show that you can actually divide the Bible into three main sections, really. And I went through this lesson again. We haven't done it for a while because of a question about the dinosaurs. Well, the dinosaurs belonged to the earth that then was. And we find evidence in them, and the geologists point out that they're millions of years old, and they are exactly right. So I hope that gives us some insight into God's purpose and plan. It is humongous. People think, they don't realize what a vast universe in which we live, or the vastness. How many angels were there? I can't remember. Somewhere it mentions them in Scripture. Hundreds of thousands of them, times whatever. Some of them believed God, some of them didn't. And they caused his first beginning to become void and out of form. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us. We're grateful for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We're grateful for the written word whereby we can know you and your purpose and your plan for the ages in which we live. Pray for each one here that each may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I pray that we all may be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.